Good morning, and welcome to Zion for the services of God's house this morning. Let us begin our worship with the singing of our opening hymn, Rise My Soul to Watch and Pray.
Greetings, in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we welcome you to the Sunday, September 29th, 2024 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in the production of this broadcast are Casey Jones, Rachel Welker, and Ken Richard. Our organist is Nancy Gunterman. The opening hymn is number 663, Rise, My Soul, to Watch and Pray. Hymn number 663, found in the Lutheran Service Book. Steve and Donna Sauer are sponsoring the flowers on the altar today to the glory of God in honor of their birthdays. Bev Lawling is sponsoring the radio broadcast today to the glory of God in remembrance of the 61st anniversary of her marriage to Orville Lawling on September 28th.
Let us please rise. O Lord, open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Thank you.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works.
Who looks on the earth and it trembles. Who touches the mountains and they smoke.
I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being.
May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord.
Let sinners be consumed from the earth and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for this, the 19th Sunday after Pentecost, from the book of Numbers, the 11th chapter. Now the rabble that was among the children of Israel had a strong craving, and the people of Israel also wept again and said, "Oh, that we had meat to eat! We remember the fish we ate in Egypt that cost nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there is nothing at all but all this manna." Moses heard the people weeping through their clans and everyone at the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord blazed hotly, and Moses was displeased. Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you dealt ill with your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight, that you lay this burden of all this people on me? Did I conceive of all this people? Did I give them birth that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries a nursing child,' to the land that you swore to give to their fathers? Where am I to get meat to give to all this people? For they weep before me and say, 'Give us meat that we may eat.' I am not able to carry all this people alone. The burden is too heavy for me. If you will treat me like this, kill me at once if I find favor in your sight, that I may not see my wretchedness." And then the Lord said to Moses, "Gather for me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them to the tent of meeting, and let them take their stand there with you." So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not continue doing it. Now two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the Spirit rested on them. And they were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent, and so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said, "My lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them. O Lord, have mercy on us."
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to the Apostles' Creed, what is the second article?
And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
What does this mean?
I believe Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all my sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he has risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true.
The epistle reading, James chapter 5. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you, and will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasure in the last days. Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you. And the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on the earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the righteous person. He does not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purposes of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power and is as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. And then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel, a reading from Mark chapter 9. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. For the one who is not against us is for us. For truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with 2 feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with 2 eyes to be thrown into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. O Lord, have mercy on us. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. The sermon text from Numbers, the 11th chapter, the 10th verse. And the anger of the Lord blazed hotly. Thus for the words of our text. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So in the readings today, I was struck by what I often forget. Now, let me be clear this morning. I'm going to use I quite a bit. I'm going to use I often in this sermon because I know my sin. And frankly, I don't know your sins and your personal and private sins. I will use generic terms. I will shift back and forth between I and we and me and us. I know I'll do that. But it's all in an effort so that our minds can be honest and blunt in our self-evaluation before God and for our need for repentance for each and every one of us. So what do I forget in my mad dash not to be too offensive to people and soft pedal the word of God and comfort myself with the thought that I am merely letting the gospel predominate? I often forget that God punishes sin. God, it is true, is merciful and slow to anger and abounding in love, but he also gets angry. And that truth of God's anger and punishment is sprinkled throughout each of our readings for today. In the psalm, we hear the words, "When you hide your face, we are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and they return to dust. The Lord looks on the earth and trembles. Who touches the mountains and they smoke?" We also find the words, "Let sinners be consumed from the earth and let the wicked be no more." Let sinners be consumed from the earth. And I thought, how often have I stood up on a Sunday morning and said, "I am a poor, miserable sinner"? How often have I cried out in my sorrow over the sins that I have committed? What have I deserved from God because of my sins? His wrath and displeasure, his temporal death, and eternal damnation. And let me tell you that there's a chunk of me, a large chunk of me that's terrified about those words. And then there's pieces of me, smaller pieces, but pieces still, that tends to live as if I didn't believe any of this. As if I could just say it and repeat it, but it goes, you know, in the head and out the mouth and forgets about it. It's a good thing that the rebellions and the punishments of the Israelites are brought before us. Because it's recorded for us in 1 Corinthians, these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. And Paul goes on to write, "Now these things happened to them for an example, but they were written down for an example for us." In the text from Numbers, the people had been encamped at Mount Sinai for 40 years. So our Old Testament text today. Just a quick survey, looking back at the chapters before and after it. Yeah, it looked like they had been camped about around Mount Sinai for about 14 months. They had been resting and refitting. They had been building up their herds and their flocks. They had been receiving the word of the Lord there at Mount Sinai. They had been building and making the furnishings for the tent of meeting. Pretty much now, they'd been there for 14 months. They had rested. They had food. They had water. They had what they needed. And then God, when everything was finished, asked them to start moving on to the promised land. The ark was ahead of them 3 days' march. They were following 3 days' march behind. So at most 6 days, they'd been on the road. And then at least 3 days, they had been on the road when all this griping and whining broke out. So it hadn't been very long at all. What our text skips over, chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, "The ark of the Lord went before them. The glory of the Lord each evening settled over the ark when the ark came to rest. Manna was still falling from the sky for all the people to eat. And they grumbled. They could see the glory of the Lord over the ark. He was still feeding them food each day. They'd only been walking or on the march for about 3 days. And they've already got their noses out of joint. They're already complaining. They're already griping. They're already grousing. And God sent fire to the edges of the camp to burn the camp. And he burned up some of the people with the camp until Moses cried out that the Lord would relent, and the Lord relented. After that event, okay, 3 days, fire, Moses having to intercede for them. Then they begin griping for meat to eat. They longed for dissatisfaction, or they longed for Egypt, and dissatisfaction among the people spread. Did you catch that? I noticed it was caught by the teachers at school devotions earlier this week. The people said, where we got meat to eat, fish for free. And Dr. Perry asked, how free was that? They were in slavery for 40 years. You know, and one of the teachers, like, you know, echoed that thought. They're in slavery for their meat wasn't free in Egypt, but their minds were not remembering that. They weren't thinking about that. And so there was a cost to the meat that they ate. But they were griping. They wanted meat to eat. And so what did God do? He gave them meat to eat. Quail fell all over the ground, all over the camp. And we all remember that, manna and quail, manna and quail. God gave them manna and quail as they wandered in the wilderness. The scripture tells them the least of them gathered, you know, 40 omers of basically 20 liters. So if you figure up 1 liter bottles of soda, cram 1 liter bottles, 21 liter bottles of soda full of quail breast and quail meat, each, the least of them gathered 20 liters of quail meat, okay? And then some others gathered more. So that's, you ever cleaned a bird? Like, tore out the feathers and gutted it and filleted the breasts off the breastbone and all of that? Can you imagine hundreds of thousands of people, each of them getting 20-liter bottles of quail meat and filling them up? I mean, that's a lot of feathers. That's a lot of feet. That's a lot of beaks. That's a lot of yuck all over the camp and everything all over the camp. I was just thinking about that. It has nothing to do with anything. But that's a lot, right? And people, by the way, the scripture tells us, were so gluttonous that they, before they could finish their course of quail, their first meal of quail, while they were still chewing the food, he still tells us that the anger of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord struck down the people with a great plague, and they buried the people there that had the craving, so the scripture says. So you've got all of this going on. The people could see the benefits and the blessings of the Lord, and yet they were still upset, and they still whined, and they still groused and moaned and groaned. You know, and I was thinking how often my trust in the Lord lacks. How often I can see what the Lord has given, what the Lord has blessed me with. How often, and yet it never seems to be enough. I always seem to want something different. I always seem to want something else. And I often complain, and I often crab about the blessings that I have or the labor that I have to go through. I'm lacking in prayer. And I don't know about you, but I've often caught myself confusing thinking about praying with actually praying itself and justifying myself that, oh, well, I thought about it, so we'll count that as a prayer. You know, oh, foolish person that I am, I have the riches and the wealth of the good news of Jesus Christ right at my fingertips. God continues to feed me, and in my sloth and mental rebellion, He's gracious to me. How often, and I wondered, have I put the Lord to the test, dancing on the boundaries of unbelief, loathing the good food of the gospel, and wanting something else besides what God has provided me with? Do you find this to be the case with you too? Like, I don't know. I don't know what goes on in between your ears. I can tell you what goes on in between mine, but, you know, it's up to you to figure out what is going on in between your ears. Have you sinned and repented simply in hopes that you won't have to suffer the effects of your sin? Have you sinned and repented, or at least say you repent, only to escape judgment and then repeat the cycle over and over and over again? I wonder how many of us are parent disrespectors and church skippers. And really, you know, the Facebook and the radio are a good blessing. And if you're sick and if you're under the weather and if you're really and truly homebound, those are wonderful things to have, right? But they're no substitute for being in worship each week. It is sinful not to be in worship. If you're physically able to be here, you know, you ought to be in worship. It's a command of God. He gave that command, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And if you're not here, if somebody is consistently missing or choosing something else over worship, yeah, that is a sin. And how could we expect the judgment of God not to fall upon us if we continue to insult him with our absence in his house? And what a stern warning is ringing in our ears when we trifle with God and we invite punishment from him upon ourselves. What a stern punishment is spoken by Jesus in the gospel. If we lead the little ones of our believers astray, what would be better for us? To have a stone tied around our necks and to be cast into the heart of the sea. You know, just turn that around and think about it. What would be? It'd be better to drown in panic than to ruin someone's faith and face judgment for that. You know, I couldn't imagine. I mean, can you imagine having 100 pounds strapped to you, chained around your waist, and being tossed in a lake and trying to scramble out of it and breathe and panic and all that? It would be better for that to happen to you than to ruin someone's faith and be tossed into the fires of hell for ruining someone's faith. Jesus is not recommending, or then Jesus goes on with a litany of ifs, or it would be better to, and he's not recommending self-mutilation. He's not recommending that we cut our hands and our feet off and pluck out our eyes, because our sinfulness is, it's here. Our sinfulness is here and here inside of us. Chopping off your hand isn't going to do you any good. It's still going to have the thoughts and the desires in your heart and in your mind. But what is he saying? He's letting us know how serious the situation is. He's giving us a list of horrific options that would be better than being cast into hell. And yes, when I read that, I get afraid. And I'm afraid that my fear betrays the lack of faith. And where is the place that you and I are driven when we're afraid that our fear betrays a lack of faith? To repentance. My fear and my sorrow echo the terrors of the conscience and the fear of eternal death. And then when we're at that place, there is no other place to turn but to the mercy of God. And that's what God does. He brings us to the place where we have nowhere else to go, nowhere else to turn but to He Himself. Moses did intercede, and God relented of disaster. God listened to the cry of Moses and gave him help in leading the people. James reminds us to be patient and firm in trial and tribulation. Establish your hearts until the coming of the Lord, he says. My brothers, if any one of you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul for death and will cover a multitude of sins. Jesus comforts us with the reward for acts of faith. Whoever gives a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward. And what does the close of the commandments tell us? That our God is merciful. He's a merciful God and a patient God, showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. So dear friends in Christ, as we examine ourselves, as we seek to evaluate ourselves before the foot of the cross, let us repent of our sins. Let us feel the terror of them. Let us feel the weight of them. Let us feel God's wrath against sin and be sorry that we have sinned. And then when we feel that, let us set the good news of Jesus Christ against the terrors of our sins. Let us remember what Jesus has done for us, that it is He who paid the price for all of our sins, that it is He who lived a perfect life in our place. It is He who died an innocent death on the cross for us. It is He who shed His blood as payment for all of our sins. It is He who rose again on the third day. It is He who commanded that that good news of the reconciliation with God be proclaimed into all of the world, that we are to trust the gospel that freely promises the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. So when you are faced with your own sin, when you are faced with the terror and the wrath of God before you, and you feel the weight of your sin, trust the gospel, which freely promises the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. The faith, believe that because of Jesus, your sins are forgiven. This faith in Christ strengthens, sustains, and quickens the sorrowful person. As Paul writes in Romans, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. To believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ is to believe that for Christ's sake, the forgiveness of sins has been granted to you. For the sake of Jesus, your sins are forgiven. So may we leave this morning as we exit the doors, as we head our way for the rest of our week. Let us leave this morning with the words of the woman who was to be stoned in our ears. Jesus stood up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus replied, "Neither do I condemn you. Now go and sin no more." In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now all rise for the singing of the Te Deum. Please be seated for the reception of our gifts and offerings.
You have been sharing in the Sunday morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or at www.zlclinc.org, where you will find the links to the internet stream and to the Facebook Live. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
We rise for prayer. Gracious Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, hear us as we cry out in repentance for our sins of thought, word, and deed, for sins that are intentional and unintentional. And for all these, we beg you, O Lord, not to punish us as we have earned, but to forgive us. Bear us up. Increase our faith, all to the glory of your name. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you give us each reasons to rejoice and to give thanks to you. We ask you to receive the thanksgiving of Steve and Donna Sauer, as they both have celebrated birthdays this past week. We thank you for giving Donna and Steve the gift of new birth in the waters of holy baptism, and for making them members of your household. As they travel the years together, may they be a blessing to each other, even as you continue to bless them. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
As we pray for the blessings of faith, we have also prayed for the blessings of health and well-being for the sick. And this day we come before you, O Lord. Thank you for answering our prayers for Reese with a yes and granting his return home from the hospital this week. And now we are bold to pray for Reese's continued health and strength and ask you to be the rock and stay of Ron and Alexis as they tend to their son. And we also ask that their faith in you may continue to grow and strengthen each and every day. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
Dear Jesus, you heal and you make well. Accept now our prayers this day on behalf of Debbie Taylor as she prepares this week for knee surgery. We implore you that this operation would go smoothly as the last one did, and that you would guide the hands of her surgeon and surgical team, granting that Debbie be swiftly relieved of her pain and returned to the activities of daily life. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
Dear Heavenly Father, many of us have relatives and friends in Florida and Georgia and the Carolinas, these places in Tennessee, those that were afflicted so heavily by the most recent hurricane. We ask you to watch over them and grant them relief from their suffering. We pray for all those who are there getting the power back on and the water back running. Lord, keep them safe also as they seek to serve the people who need fresh water and lights and heat and air conditioning these rough and terrible days. We also pray for those affected by deep floods, Lord, that they would begin the process of cleaning up and recovering, and that you would grant that that process would go well and they would be able to get back into their homes as soon as possible. And we're very bold to ask that any more storms would be deflected away from the coasts of our nation so that those who are currently affected not be afflicted anymore. All this we ask in your name, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
Gracious God, who guides the fate of nations for purposes unseen to us, as we come closer to a presidential election and all the other elections this year, hear our intercession on behalf of our nation. Forgive us our sins and disrespect of your word. In the grace of your guidance, grant a peaceful election process and gracious winners and gracious losers, and cause us to be a people after your own heart, to the glory of your name. Amen. We now continue our prayers with the singing of the Kyrie.
Art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
O Lord, hear my prayer. Everlasting Father, source of every blessing, mercifully direct and govern us by your Holy Spirit, that we may complete the works you have prepared for us to do. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all.
Amen. The closing hymn is number 854. Forth in thy name, O Lord, I go. Hymn number 854, found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Thank you.
Please be seated. I'm happy to see Peggy there. Peggy, I know you left a note about the Raider Farms activity under my door last night, because I got it yesterday evening. I put it on my desk and I forgot it this morning. Yes. And is there a flyer out on the board? Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you. Appreciate that. And may the Lord bless all of you. May He bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.